free to ask myself or my wife after the service. But once again, Pastor, thank you for the opportunity to preach God's word this morning. I'm going to make sure all of my stuff is set up so that way no complications. Amen. Joshua chapter 1 this morning. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1 in Joshua chapter 1. And many of us, I'm sure, are familiar with Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I'm sure some of you have even memorized that verse. And many people, when they think about Joshua chapter 1, that is the verse that they go to. But I want to focus on a phrase this morning that is stated four times in Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to focus on the first three times that the phrase is stated. And when you come to Joshua chapter 1, Joshua has just been appointed the new leader of the nation of Israel. Moses, the great leader, has just gone on. And the nation of Israel is also about to enter into the land of Canaan. They've gone from wandering in the desert place for 40 years, and God has raised up the next generation. And God is speaking to Joshua, and he's giving him some words of encouragement that I pray by God's help will be some encouragement for all of us this morning. In Joshua chapter 1, in verse 1, the Bible says this: "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, to the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." The thought I want to give to you by God's help this morning is found in verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9, where the phrase is stated, "Be strong and of a good courage." Be strong and of a good courage. And like I was saying a few minutes ago, we come to this portion of the Word of God this morning, and we find that Joshua has just now been placed in charge of the nation of Israel. He is now the predecessor. He's the one that's following up after Moses. Moses was a great man of God. When you read through the Pentateuch, when you read through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Moses' fingerprint is all over it. Moses was a man that walked with God. The Bible says that Moses was a friend of God. I can't think of a greater compliment than to be told that you're a friend of God's. That's how close Moses was. He was a great man. He was a great leader. As a matter of fact, I was reading somewhere where it says that Moses is considered at West Point to be part of the top 50 greatest leaders of all time. I mean, just a great man. Great man that walked with God. But as you read through the Word of God, especially in Moses' life, you find that towards the end of it all, God instructs Moses, speak to the rock instead of hitting the rock. And what does Moses do? In his anger towards the nation of Israel, he doesn't speak to the rock, he hits the rock. And God says, excuse me, and God tells Moses, "Moses, because of your disobedience, because of the fact that instead of speaking to the rock, you hit it, you're not going to be able to enter into the land of Canaan with the nation of Israel. I'll let you see it up on a mount, Mount Pisgah, but I'm not going to let you go into it." And we find that at the end of Moses' life, Moses goes up, sees the land of Canaan, sees the place of promise for the nation of Israel, and God buries him there in that mountain. And here comes along Joshua. And I don't know about you, I don't know if you've ever picked up or taken a job where somebody that was very respected was once in your position, but I cannot imagine the pressure Joshua was under. Think about you having to follow a man like Moses. Think about the fact that here is Joshua. He's got all this responsibility. Not only is he following one of the greatest leaders of all time, he's also working with a people that have a history of being very difficult. We think Americans are tough to deal with. Read about the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. I mean, these people were about as hard-hearted gets at times. You read through where God gets them out of the land of Egypt. They get to the Red Sea, and what do? God, you let us out here to die and to perish. God makes a way for them. They get out into the desert places, and what do again? God, you've let us out here to die. God provides manna. God provides for whatever they want, even when they complain. These were a very difficult group of people. And when God is speaking to Joshua in this chapter, God is simply just trying to encourage him and say, be strong and of a good courage. And friend, the same message that God gave Joshua those 4,000 plus years ago, I want to encourage all of us to this morning to be strong and of a good courage. We're living in a generation today that is looking for people that are not going to be fickle, hypocritical, people that are just going to waver to and fro. What this generation, what Butte, Montana is looking for today is Christians that will be strong and of good courage. Friend, our homes need people to be strong and of good courage. We need fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, sons, daughters, people in the workforce that are going to be strong and of a good courage. Because what I'm afraid of today is what we're seeing is so many people, Christians included, that are not strong and of good courage. And it's showing in this generation. And as the nation of Israel is preparing to go into the land of Canaan, God not once, not twice, but three times tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage. We'll begin this morning by simply going over the definitions of these words. The word strong here means simply this, to fasten upon, to seize, to play the man. In October 16, 1555, Latimer and Ridley were two Christian men in Oxford, England. And in order to understand their story and the perspective of what they're going through, we talked about this morning how in America we are cradled with our Christian beliefs. We don't have to worry about persecution. But in this day and age in 1555, to be a Christian in England meant that you were going against the state church, which meant you were a heretic, which meant ultimately if you did not renounce and transfer your membership and your faith back to the state church, you were more than likely going to be sentenced to death for your faith. And Latimer and Ridley were two men that were Christians that loved God. And they stood on the truths of God's word and said, we're not going to conform to the Church of England. We're saved. We know what we believe in. And they're willing to die for it. And as these men were being prepared to be burned at the stake, it is said that Latimer said this, be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as shall never be put out. What does it mean to be strong? It doesn't mean to be physically. It doesn't mean all of us need to go find the nearest gym and get a gym membership. That's not the kind of strong the Word of God is not talking. That's not what it's talking about here. The Word of God, when it says be strong, means to fasten upon, to seize, to play the man. And what God is looking for in people today, what he's looking for in your life and my life, is to be strong, to seize God at his word, what he's called us to do, and to go forward by faith and play the person God has called us to play. What does that mean? It means to follow Christ. Because what Joshua and the nation of Israel, if you read on through the book of Joshua, what they were about to go through was going to require them to be strong. It was going to require them to fasten upon God and his word and to say, we're going to live this out. Because they were going to face giants. They were going to face great walls. They were going to face enemies that were greater than them. But God reminded them and said this, Joshua, be strong. And friend, this morning, God wants to remind us, be strong. Play the man. Follow through what I've called you to do. That word courage, secondly, not only should we be strong, but we should be of good courage. The Bible, the word courage here means this. It means to establish, fortify, to be alert, increase, prevail. So not only should we be strong, fasten upon, and seize, but we should also be of good courage. We should establish, fortify, increase, and prevail. Friend, I want to remind you this morning, we serve a prevailing God. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter who's in the governor's seat this morning. It doesn't matter what people may say or what governments may try to tell us how to live. We serve a prevailing God. We don't serve a defeated God this morning. You know why? Because our God is seated at the right hand of the Father today, who liveth and maketh intercession for us. What does that mean? That means that we can live a life not only of being strong, but being of a good courage. The Christian life is the ascending life. The Christian life is the life of victory over sin, not because of who we are, but because of who Christ is in and through us. We have the victory in Jesus Christ. And when God is speaking to Joshua, he's saying, Joshua, don't just be strong. Don't just seize what I have for you, but I also expect you to be of good courage, to establish and to prevail. Friend, that same call that God had on Joshua's life is the same thing he desires for us this morning. God desires for Lighthouse Baptist Church here in Butte, Montana, not just to exist till Christ comes, but he wants this church to be strong and of a good courage. He doesn't just want your home, friend, to be a home where you fortify and you're okay with your family. No, God wants you to have a home that is strong and of a good courage. God wants your personal life, your personal walk with him, to be strong and of a good courage. Why? Because we serve a victorious Savior today. Amen. I don't serve a deadbeat God. I don't know what your perspective is of Christ, but what I've read in my Bible, he's alive and he's coming again. And he's in total control of everything. That's why we can be strong and of good courage. Number one, why be strong and of good courage this morning? To live a life of victory. You look at me again in verse 4. Actually, verse 2 through 4. But the Bible says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Verse 6, for unto this people shall the divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Why be strong and of good courage? To live a life of victory. And friend, I've already said this already, but our victory is not found in ourselves. It's not found in who we are. There are programs that are out there saying, hey, if you do this step, you'll have victory. And yet, was it the other day, people say, we're still an addict. You can't overcome it. Friend, the only way you can overcome sin, the only way you can have the courage to do what is right, to be strong, is not found in you or me. It's found in Jesus Christ. And God is trying to remind Joshua in this chapter, in verse 6, he say, be strong and of a good courage. Why, Joshua? Why be strong and of a good courage? Because I'm going to give you the victory. Friend, we already have victory. It's in Jesus Christ. He is the only one that's ever conquered sin. You realize that? He's the only other person. He's the only person that's ever done that. We're born with a sin nature. We can't overcome it. Jesus Christ has. Amen. Can I remind you? He's the only one that's overcome death. There's nobody else on this earth that's overcome death, only Jesus Christ. And what I love too, he's overcome hell as well. Friend, why can we live a life of victory personally? Why can we live a life of victory in our families? Why can we live a life of victory as we go throughout our public influences of life? Because we serve a victorious God. And God was trying to remind Joshua, look, as you prepare to go into the land of Canaan, as you're about to step over by faith into the Jordan River, as you're about to go face the walls of Jericho, as you're about to go face the giants in the land, you're going to fight all these enemies. Be strong and of a good courage, Joshua. Why? Because I've already given you the victory. Friend, why can we live a life of victory? Because we serve a victorious God today. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Friend, we can go forward when other people say, you can't do that. You can't say that. You can't live this way. Why can we be strong and of good courage? Because God's the one that will fight for us. Continue on in Psalm 108, verse 13. The Bible says this, through God we shall do valiantly, for it is he that shall tread down our enemies. Friend, God is the one that does the work. God's the one that gives the victory. When we have problems, when we have struggles in our life, we shouldn't turn to ourselves and think, man, I've got this. No, we need to turn to our Savior. Why? Because he's the one that treads down the enemy. He's the one that gives the victory. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, the Bible says this, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, we need to be reminded this morning, we can live a victorious Christian life, not in and of ourselves, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ in whom we serve, who is our Savior. That's why we need to be strong and of a good courage, because we serve victorious Savior this morning. Secondly, if you would, look with me in verse 7. The Bible says this, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Why be strong and of good courage? Number one, to live a life of victory. But number two, following God's word. Friend, we have to be strong and of good courage in following the word of God. Because when you read through this book, humanly speaking, there are things in this book that don't make sense. It only makes sense when you're following Christ. You continue reading the book of Joshua, the first thing they run into is the walls of Jericho. And may I remind you, these walls weren't some puny little walls where it's like, okay, you know, these are nice and cute here, you know, punch a hole through them. These were thick walls, feet high, feet wide. I mean, this was a fortress. And what does God tell Joshua and the nation of Israel to do? Joshua, this is what you're going to do. Day one, you're getting up and you're going to march around at once. Think about that for a military strategy. I was in the army. If our officer would have told me to do that, said, you kidding me? We got all these other things we can use. But that's what God told Joshua. Second day, what do? They march around it again. They get to the seventh day. What does God tell them to do? You're going to march around it seven times. They had some cardio exercise. Amen. They must have had a really good feast after that one. Seven times, and then what does God tell him to do? He doesn't tell him to start throwing things over, start bombarding him. What does he do? You're going to sit there, and you're going to shout, and guess what happens? The walls crumble down. Humanly speaking, that is not a very wise strategy. But with God, it was exactly what they needed to do. Why? So he could get the glory. Amen. Friend, when you and I follow God's word, we have to be strong and of a good courage. Let me make it more practical. Following God and his word, being strong and of good courage, means we have to raise our children in a Christian home, which is exactly what the world's against today. It doesn't matter where you go. You turn on the TV and it's anti-God and mocks God. You know what mocks God? It mocks God in marriage. When is the last time you saw a wholesome show where they promoted marriage between one man and one woman and the man wasn't an idiot? When's the last time you've seen a show like that? When's the last time you've seen a show where children honored their parents? Where they weren't living in disobedience or trying to do things behind their back? It's unpractical nowadays to the world. And in order to raise children, in order to be the father, the mother, the husband, the wife that God has called us to be, we have to follow God's word and be strong and of a good courage. Being the co-worker that doesn't swear, that doesn't listen to the same music, that doesn't live the lifestyle that everybody else lives, means to be strong and of good courage. And the only way we're going to do that is by being in God's word. The first thing we find in following the word of God, it says this, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. What does it mean in following God's word? It means following the word of God in obedience, not being a compromiser. Here, Joshua is instructed by God, don't turn from the right or to the left. And I don't know about you, but I remember when I first got saved, I loved reading the word of God. I loved following it. It wasn't that hard. It was exciting. But the longer I've been saved, the temptation has grown to follow God 95% of the way, and the other 5%, I've got it figured out, isn't it? It's easy to read the word of God and say, Lord, I agree with you on this one. But the next verse, I don't really agree with you on that one, so I ain't going to do it. Friend, God is not a compromising God. The Word of God in its full entirety, God says you need to follow all of it. Oh, friend, how many people are living in sin because at one point they decided to compromise the Word of God? You see, our mindset is this. We like to talk about gray areas. Friend, I want to tell you, there's no gray area with God. It's either obedience or it's disobedience. You continue reading on through the book of Joshua and you find that they're going through the land of Canaan. They're seeing a lot of victory. And a couple of the kings start realizing, man, we're about to get run over here. So these kings get together, they form an alliance, and they say this: we're going to pretend like we're some faraway travelers. We're going to come to the Jewish people, and we're going to come walking up to them, and we're going to say, hey, look, we're from far away, make a treaty with us, and we'll be your servants. And you come to that portion of the Word of God, and these kings come and approach Joshua and the princes and the leaders of the Israelites, and not once do you see where Joshua consults God for wisdom. The nation of Israel and the leaders decide, you know what, we're going to make this peace treaty with these men. They compromise. And come to find out that these faraway travelers that they thought were faraway and distant lands are their neighbors. And the very people that God said you need to get rid of, they have to live with because they made a peace treaty without consulting God. They compromised. And for the rest of their time in the nation of Israel, for the rest of their time in the land of Canaan, they couldn't deal with them. They just had to live with them. Why? Because they decided to turn to the right and to the left rather than following God's word in his entirety. And friend, the generations to come had to deal with the same exact group of people. Why? Because at some point they decided, you know what? We know better than God. Oh, Lord, we're doing what you want us to do. We're taking care of the land of Canaan. We're taking care of the people in there. But except for this one group. And they had to deal with it for the rest of their lives. Friend, God doesn't just want us to observe 95% of his word or 99.9. He wants us to observe all of it. Amen. You know where so many of us get in trouble with sin? It's because we justify sin by saying, you know what, God's going to be okay with this. Oh, it's just one time. No, friend, when God says, observe my law, he means all of it. The word of God says this in Deuteronomy 5:32. So you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. Proverbs 4:27 says this: do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. You know what oftentimes we talk about when we turn to the right or to the left? We say, oh, like I said before, we say it's a gray area. You know what the Bible calls it? Evil. It's either good or evil. That's how plain spoken the word of God is. We think, oh, God's okay. No, God says, don't turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. It continues on in verse 8 and says this: not only should we live a life of following the word of God, not turning to the right or to the left, but in verse 8 it says this also: this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Friend, what are we known for in regards to our speech? What do we talk about? Because what we talk about is what we love, what's on our hearts. You know, it doesn't take 5 minutes to meet somebody and know what they love. You know why? Because they just start talking about it. Or whatever's problems are on their heart, amen? How oftentimes do we spend as Christians talking about politics or sports or other things but for the word of God? God says here to Joshua, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Oh, we're great talking about the word of God in church, aren't we? Oh, we'll talk about the word of God then, but what do we talk about the rest of the week? What do we talk about on Tuesday afternoon when our coworkers are talking to us? The Bible says this: to be strong and of a good courage means this, that the word of God doesn't depart out of our mouth. And if there's any group of people that should have the word of God upon their mouth speaking about it, it should be you and I. The world's not going to talk about the word of God. The sad reality is how many of us talk about the things of the world and we spend so little talking about the things of God.
And I'll dare say the main reason why that is the case is because we spend so little time in it. Because what we invest our time and our effort and our resources in is what we love to talk about. And I'm ashamed to say that I have wasted so much of my time talking about anything but for the person and the Word of God that has redeemed my soul. The thing we should be most unashamed to talk about is God and His Word. Why? Because He came, bled, and died for us, knowing we would reject Him for a time. What do we talk about? It continues on and says this, not only what do we speak about, but in verse 8 it says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. What do we think about? That word meditation means to ponder. I don't know if you've ever been on a farm before, but if you ever go by and see cows grazing, sometimes you can go by and see a cow laying down and still chewing. They're not even eating a blade of grass. What are they doing though? They're chewing on that blade of grass. They're getting what they can out of all the nutrients out of that. And that's the best way I can say meditation is. It's constantly chewing the cud. It's constantly coming back up and thinking about it. How often do we meditate on everything but the Word of God? We'll meditate on our problems. We'll meditate on the problems around us. We'll meditate on the problems the government's giving us. We'll meditate on everything else but the Word of God. Friend, as a believer, Joshua, God commands Joshua and says this, not only should you be speaking about my word, you should be thinking about it. Oh, how quick we are to read the word of God and say, you know what, Lord, I've done my devotions for the day. And we don't think about it for the rest of our day. The psalmist here says in Psalm 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Friend, if we truly love God and His Word, it should be a delight to think about it. Because what we delight in is what we're going to think about. I remember when my wife and I first started dating, you know what? All I could think about is where's she at right now? What's she doing? Hey, when do I get to talk to her again? Why? Because I still delight in being with her. But even more so as a believer, we should delight in the Word of God. It should be what we meditate upon. Psalm 104, verse 34 says this, my meditation of him shall be sweet. When was the last time we thought upon God and thought, this is sweet? You know, often as a believer, at least for me personally, I often think about God and what can he do for me? What do I get out of this? But the psalmist, he had such a relationship with God, he said, my meditation of him is sweet. Because he loved him so much. I will be glad in the Lord. Philippians 4:8 tells us what happens when we think about the Word of God. And I'll read it here for the sake of time. But this is what happens when you think about the Word of God and meditate upon it. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Friend, I'm telling you, I've lived long enough in this world, you're not going to find any of those things to think upon in the world. The Bible says, actually, things are only going to get worse. Times are not going to get better, they're only going to get worse. Men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. The only place I have found to think about things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of any virtue, and of any praise, the only place I have found in this world that offers that is found in this book. And if we're going to be a people that stay encouraged in the times we live in, and the problems and the things that we face day-to-day life, whether it be finances, whether it be health difficulties, whether it be through family problems, whatever the case may be, the only place you're going to find hope and encouragement and what you need to think upon is found in this book. This is what we need to meditate upon. We don't need to meditate on the greatest, newest news that's coming out because, may I remind you, there's only going to be another thing coming. All right? How quickly we've forgotten things that happened a month ago, right? They're only going to get worse. The only things in our life, you know what? We are dying right now. You know what I mean? It's not getting any better. The only place that's going to be an encouragement to our hearts and our life, the only place we can meditate upon of which gives us hope is found in the Word of God. I love lastly, though, here it says this.
that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You know, a lot of us love the end of verse 8. Even men have made ministries off the word prosper. Prosper is not mentioned very many times in the Word of God. It says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. But here at the end of this verse, in verse 8, in the middle of it, says this, that thou mayest observe. Not only should we be meditating, speaking, not compromising, but we also need to be obeying the Word of God. Putting feet to where the mouth is. Putting money where your mouth is, so to speak. You know, a lot of us want the end of verse 8, don't we? We want all the prospering. We want all the success. And by the way, that doesn't mean physical. That means spiritual. We want all the good things, but we don't want to be obedient. And you know what, friend? God will not give us the success and the prospering until we be obedient unto Him. My dad, who's a pastor, said this one time, and I thought it was a very good quote. You know, oftentimes people say, would come to him and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need more faith. My dad's been pastoring for 18 years, and he said this, you know, I've come to the conclusion, we don't need more faith. We all have equal amount of faith. What people need is to be more obedient. And friend, what oftentimes lacks in your life and my life is just simple obedience to the Word of God. We know what to do. We know how to do it. Yet how oftentimes do we not do it? We live a life of disobedience. I read this quote recently. It said this, expectation without effort is entitlement. Expectation without effort is entitlement. And we're seeing a lot of entitled people today's day and age. But before we point the finger at them, how many times are we guilty of the same thing? Lord, why aren't you blessing me? Lord, why didn't I get that promotion? Lord, why is this happening? Why is that happening? You know why? Because we have expectation, but we give little to no effort in being obedient to the Word of God. And we're just as entitled as the person we think of when we think of an entitled person. Oh, how many Christians won't even enter into a church today because they thought they've been entitled to something? Friend, I want to remind you what we deserve this morning is hell. We deserve eternal separation without God. That's what we deserve. But God in His grace and His mercy loves us, came and died on the cross for our sins. And what He requires of us in obedience, may I remind you, doesn't even come close to the day on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Oh, we make such pitiful excuses for our disobedience, don't we? Lord, I couldn't do it today. Lord, I couldn't tell that person about Christ today. Lord, I just wasn't feeling good. That's why I couldn't show up to church today. But yet we want the full benefits of being a believer. Expectation without effort is entitlement. Isaiah 1 verse 19 says this, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. I dare say all of us want to eat the good of the land spiritually, don't we? I don't think there's anybody here today that's like, man, sign me up for the desert place. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to hang out. There's nobody here in your right mind that wants to do that, all right? We all want the good of what God has to offer, don't we? We want the best. But it says this, if ye be willing and obedient, then ye shall eat the good of the land. The key to it is found in that first word, if. We see lastly, be strong and of good courage, living a life of victory. Be strong and of good courage in following the Word of God. But thirdly and lastly, be strong and of good courage because God is always with us. In verse 9, the Bible says this, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And Christian, if I can encourage us as we prepare to leave, I want to remind you of one thing. You serve a God. I serve a God that is always with us. I don't have to worry about wherever I go. Where God has called us to Libby, Montana. You know why? I can go there with confidence, not because of my abilities or my skills, because I serve a God that will never leave me nor forsake me.
And as the nation of Israel, as Joshua is preparing to enter into the land of Canaan, God is trying to remind Joshua, hey, be strong and of good courage. Why? Because I'm going to be with you. Why can Lighthouse Baptist Church, when we leave as a group of believers out these doors, going into our Sunday afternoon and whatever the rest of the week holds, why can we be strong and of a good courage and raising our families for the Lord and living a life that pleases God in front of our coworkers and our families? Why can we do this? Because we serve a God that will never leave us. God tells Joshua in this verse there, he says, don't be afraid of what's around you, Joshua. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Don't be in fear of what is to come. Be strong and of a good courage because I'm going to be with you. Why can we be bold in the face of opposition when we're living in a nation now that has openly said we are against God? Why can we be bold in front of our neighbors who say, why are you serving this God I don't even believe in? Because we serve a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. We can be strong and of good courage because he's there right with us. I'm thankful for that. You know why? Because there's millions of people today that are going and worshiping a dead God. And they have more courage than we do, sadly, oftentimes. We should be the most courage and the most strong people on this earth because God is with us no matter what happens in this life. Lastly, if you would, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, and we'll conclude here. Appreciate your patience. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, it is he that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Friend, why can we be strong and of good courage with God being with us? Because it is he that doth go with thee. When a coworker questions and mocks you for being a Christian, God's going with you. When family members say, why are we, when you have young people that say, why are we following, why are we doing this, Dad? Why are we doing our devotion time? God's going to go with you. Boy, I love this. At the end, it says this, he will not fail thee. Friend, everybody else is going to fail you in this life. Everyone will fail you. God never will fail you. It doesn't matter how dire the circumstance. It doesn't matter how alone you feel. God's not going to fail you. And I don't know what he'll do. I don't know how he'll get you out of things. You may be all alone and say, everybody else has failed me. Everybody else has turned their back on me. God won't. But I love this verse as well. It says, nor forsake thee. No matter how bad it gets, friend, God won't forsake you. He stands there with open arms ready for you. Ready for me. He will not leave thee nor forsake thee. The question I have for us this morning is simply this. Will we be a people that will be strong and of good courage? How much longer are we going to live this life thinking, you know what, I'll wait till tomorrow to make decisions for God? You're talking about your missions month. Friend, what God is looking for, these people, the nation of Israel, were on a mission. They were on a mission to do what God had called them to do, to live a victorious life. But the only way they were going to do it was by being strong and of good courage. And friend, since God has put this on my heart, I've learned one thing, very importantly. It's not just a one-moment decision. It's a life decision. It's a moment-by-moment decision. Because when God calls for us to be strong of good courage, it's oftentimes that I have found when I'm at my weakest. When my flesh says, don't do this, Dan. You don't need to do this. That's the time to determine I'm going to be strong and of good courage. Our homes need this. Our friends need to see somebody that's strong and of good courage. Our coworkers are looking for someone to be strong and of good courage. They see everything else but that today. Butte, Montana needs people to be strong and of good courage. Friend, I'm going to be so bold to say this. This not only can change our families, our communities, it can change the world. Because if God chose 12 men to turn the world upside down, what can he do with this group? But we have to determine, by God's grace, Lord, I'm going to be strong and of good courage, no matter what it takes. You come to the end of Joshua's life and the end of the book of Joshua, they lived a life of victory. No, they weren't perfect, but they saw God do some amazing things. It says that the generation after that followed God because of what this generation chose to do, to be strong and of a good courage. My question for all of us this morning, will we do the same thing? Will we determine, I'm going to be strong and of good courage? We only have so much time on this earth. It's over. What are we going to do with this life? Let's be strong and of good courage. Pastor.
Amen. Jennifer. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother, for that message.